start them up.
Okay. There is visual.
Okay. Okay. First of all, next week I am taking 2 personal days, so I am among the missing. This room will be an open lab on Thursday. Tuesday there's no class, so there isn't it. It's a holiday. Thursday, this room will be an open lab from 9:30 to 2, the Pat will be at. And so basically you can come and work anytime during that 9:30 to 2 if you want help. If everything is under control, you got the day off. But if you want help and you're behind or something, then Pat's going to be here from 9:30 to 2 on Thursday. And he'll also be in this room on Monday from 11 to 2 or 2:30. I'll put the exact time when he's done up on my website as soon as he tells me. But it will definitely be from 11 to 2. So Monday he'll be here from 11 to 2 in an open lab. And Thursday he will be here from 9:30 to 2 in an open lab. Okay? And so if you're having troubles, this is basically a catch-up week. So next week is basically catch-up week, where you should try to get caught up. And if you need help in getting caught up, you should plan to spend quality time with Pat. But the other thing is, if you come with somebody else, you can talk it through with other people in the room. Okay? And just talk it over with other people in the class. And look on it that way, too. Okay? So, okay, today we're going to start Visual Basic and Visual Studio. And I don't know even if it's up here. But if you go into all programs and go down and you pick Visual Studio 2012. Okay, so you're picking Visual Studio 2012. Okay.
Is anyone having issues trying to find Visual Studio 2012?
I'm actually having an issue finding the thing to click on.
Yeah, that one right there.
There we go.
Sick in a while,
we love that. Yes.
Alright, who else? Are you needs? Okay. I think it's just one.
Yeah, so.
Who else?
It'd be wonderful if this would load.
This would be great.
So Visual Studio 2012. And I've opened it, so it's now up there. But you're going to go to Visual Studio 2012, and then click on Visual Studio 2012 a second time. Okay, so we are going to work with this in class and homework. Okay, guys, my turn. You may download this from DreamSpec. You can also go into Microsoft and get a thing called Visual Studio Express. And you can obviously do a search to find out where it is you can download it from. But Microsoft lets you download Visual Studio Express, and either of them are fine. So you can go to DreamSpec and download Visual Studio, or you can go to Microsoft and download Visual Studio Express. And I should have looked it up, but I didn't. I'll look up the link to get to Visual Studio Express. Yeah.
I noticed when you try to download Visual Studio, there's like 100 different options for Visual Studio. Most Visual Studio doesn't work.
Open?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I got with Professional. I just assumed that Professional would be the right one to pick.
Well, that's probably fine, too. Yeah. You probably got more extra edit attractions than you need.
That's Ultimate's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate's the best.
Ultimate.
What's the Ultimate one?
You can all download the one labeled Ultimate at 2012. Okay. Now there is a 2013 out, but I would prefer you use 2012 because that's what Open Labs yields. So that means you can go back and forth between them. Okay?
We have 2013, I think, in one lab, but we don't have it in this lab, so I'd like you to use that one.
Is there a geographical difference?
Okay. So I'm going to go in here and say, okay, I'm not going to do anything, apparently.
Mine's still loading user settings.
Apparently we all are.
Discussion? When's the Owl Society brew?
This Thursday.
Same time as paper?
Yep. Okay. Now, that's actually good that you brought up the paper. A few of you have not heard from your mentor. Sorry about that. I've sent out some nags, so I hope you'll hear from them. But as long as you pass in the part that is the research for your job, the job you want to have, and tell me that you haven't heard from your mentor yet, then that's fine. And then when you do hear from your mentor, go in and upgrade the paper and send me the mentor information. But if you send me the first part of the paper, essentially, by the deadline, then you're not late, as long as you tell me that you contacted your mentor, and you should have sent me the contact information so that I can actually validate that. But just tell me that you contacted the mentor, okay? Because there are two that I know of that are people have said that they're having a hard time hearing from. So hopefully that will change. But in the meantime, if you haven't, do the other part. Okay. So I'm going to come in here and say file new project. Now I'm going to mention, if you download the Express version, you probably won't get the ability to do websites. But that's fine. We're not going to do that here. There is a second one that you can download from Microsoft that lets you do developer for webs. So you can download an Express for the desktop and an Express for the web, and then you have it all. But if you download from DreamSpark, you get it all at one shot. Okay? So you're going to click on File New Project. Okay? Now, a couple of other differences. If you get the Express version, you will not have all three of these things. You will have the name and the location, I think. I'm trying to remember. But you won't get all three. But that's fine. You can go in and save it once you get inside Visual Studio. And we can. I'll show you how you can do that. Okay, so I'm basically going to put this on my flash drive, because I want to be able to have what I do. So I'm putting in my flash drive. And I am going to pick Windows Form Application, which is the default. And I'm going to call it 1st11 14. Okay, and notice that comes up as both the name and the solution name. Okay? You want to make sure that create directory for a solution is checked, because you want to create a directory for the solution to go into. So you want to make sure that that is checked. Okay? And then you're going to click OK. And then you're going to wait. And then you're going to wait some more. And then you're going to wait some more.
What did you call them?
I call mine 1st11 14. But you can call it anything that you want.
I just...
What? Okay. So...
if you have the Express version, you're going to come in as one of the first things and say, File, Save All. And that will save it for you. Okay? So if you have the Express version, since you don't get to provide quite as much information, you're going to just come in and say, File, Save All. Okay, so what I've got here is four different things that I have that I'm working with. Over here, I have a series of tools that I can use. That's the toolbox. Okay, and that's Pat's job.
Yep.
If something isn't there, he's going to.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Control-Alt-X.
Gets everything? Okay, yeah. That's what I thought it did, but then when you said that, I thought maybe it did everything. Magic. Okay. So, you should have these four things, and if you don't have these four things, put up your hand, and Pat will come around. Or Nick will come around if we have too many people.
Everyone have the toolbox?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
then you should see a form in the middle of the page. Then you should see over here the Solution Explorer. And you should see down here the properties. Okay, so you should see all four of these. Now, notice the name that I gave it is showing up here under Solution. So that's the name that I gave it is showing up as the project. Now, before I get any further, I want to remember to tell you this. When you send this to me, you need to send me the entire folder, the entire directory. You can't send me components. You have to send me the entire folder directory. And every program is going to have its own folder. So what you have to do is, prior to sending it to me, you have to zip up the folder and send me the zipped folder. Then I get to unzip it and then run it. But you have to send me the entire folder, and I don't want to put it together when it comes, because the folder's going to have subfolders and all the rest. So I'm not putting it together if you send me separate components.
The toolbox. If you want to get this thing so it's appearing all the time, you hit the toolbox button over here on the left, but then you hit that little pin button right here, and this will pop up right here, like all set, and this one will cover the form.
Right.
So I just want to throw
that's them. Actually true of all of these.
Yeah.
See these little pins? If you turn the pin sideways, it goes away. And if you turn it upside in, right upside down or right side up or whatever,
yeah.
It will show it. Perpendicular. That's what we want.
There we go.
Okay. So this is my basic form. Okay? And what I am going to do is work with this form. So, the first thing I can do, for example, is I can look at the properties of the form. So the properties are things about the form. So, for example, right now it says Form 1 up there. If I'd like it to say something else, I can come over here to where it says Text Form 1, and I can change it. So I can come over here and say Form First. Now, usually we write the word form in front of FRM, lowercase FRM, in front of things. That's just a professional way of doing it. If you call it whatever, that's fine too. It's going to work. But lots of times we call things a name. Now, when I want to put up the text, I might not want to do that. I might want to call it First Form or something like that. And I will tell you about using that little FRM later on. If I were to change the name of this form one up here, I'd make it FRM. So I'm saying first form. And then when I click over here, notice it's changed. And it's now got the name first form. I could also, if I wanted to, go in and change the background color. I could change the foreground color. I can change a lot of different properties of the form. And for now, I'm not going to do that, but we will eventually do it. Okay, so when I look over here at the side, I have a couple of things that I want to put up here. One of them is a label. So I can say I want to put a label up here. So I'm dragging over a label. Okay? And that label, I can then come over to my properties and give the label a name. Okay. So, when I come over here, I'm going to click on that second icon in. That second icon in alphabetizes my properties. And so I do a lot better at finding the properties if I've alphabetized them rather than looking around for them. So I click on that second little button right here, and that alphabetizes them. See, it says A to Z, so that alphabetizes them. So I've got the label now, and label, when I name it, I put LBL at the front. So I'm going to call this label name. Okay, so I've got a label there called label name. And then I'm going to come down here, and under text, I'm going to change label one, and I'm going to say name. And when I do that, now I have the word name up here instead of label one. Okay? So I did two things. I changed the text, and I changed the actual name of the form.
How do you change the actual name of the form?
You go up here to name, and you change it to LBL name. And if you alphabetize it, it's easier to find it, because it's the third thing down. So I now call that label name.
Did you change the name to LBL?
LBL name is what I called it. Okay. Okay, so now I have a name here. Now I'm going to put up a text box. And I'm going to put the text box right next to it. And the text box is where I am going to have somebody type their name. Okay, so the text box is for user in entry. So I'm going to have them type their name in that text box. So I'm going to call that text box TXT name, because that's what I usually do, TXT name. Okay? So labels are LBL whatever. Text boxes are TXT, whatever. Forms, if you're going to name them, but we're not going to right now, are FRM. And buttons can be ETN. And we're going to look at those. Okay, so right now my name is text name. Okay, Nick, get to work. Seriously. There's people that need help, so anybody need help? Nick knows what he's doing in this. So if you need help, Nick or Pat, they've both taken Visual Basic 1. Okay, so if you need any help, grab either Nick or Pat. Okay, so I'm putting you to work. You don't get to do this. Okay, so now I have set up a name field, and I have set up a place to put in the name. Okay? Now I am going to put up a button. So I'm going to come over here and put a button there. Okay? And my button is going to be something I can click on to cause something to happen. Okay? And I am going to label that button BTN Click. That's just the name I chose. BTN Click. So that's its name, is BTN Click. And then I want to change the text. So I'm scrolling down and I'm changing it, and I'm going to say just the word click. And that then becomes the word that's on the button. So I've got, so for both the label and the button, I changed the name and I changed the text. For the text box, I just changed the name, because I don't want any text written inside that. Because if I put text inside that, the user's going to have to erase that text before they enter in the name. So I don't want text there. For all of them, I gave them a name. For the label and the button, I gave the text so that I can see the word name and see the word click. Okay? Everybody with us?
Everybody got a button, a label, and a text box all labeled up nice and happy?
Okay, so now I'm going to put up another text box. And I'm going to put that down at the bottom, and I'm going to call that text greeting. Because the whole purpose of this program is going to be say hello to somebody. Okay, so I've got text greeting, and I've named this text greeting.
Did you change the text or no text?
Okay, and I'm not changing the text because I don't want any text inside the box. Okay, so now I've got my form all set up. So now I said something's going to happen when I click on this button. So if I click on it, it brings up the code area where I can write the code. Okay? And it very nicely labels this as a sub, meaning a subroutine, a module, whatever you want to call it. And it nicely labels it. And it gives it a name, button click underscore click. Underscore action, that's right. So this is the name, and then underscore, and this is the action. So what it says is, if I click on this button, the code inside here is going to happen. If I, the click event, this is called an event or an action or an activity or pick a word. But the click event of that button will cause whatever I write in there to happen. Okay? So, what I want to have happen is I want to say text greeting. And notice how it very nicely brings up something that looks like what you might want. And you can just click on it if you want to. Text greeting, and then you put in a dot text, meaning the text property. Remember, we set the text property of the label, and we set the text property of the button. Now, I want to set the text property of text greeting.
And the way that I can set the text property of text reading is to assign something to it. So I'm saying textreading.text. The text property of that is going to be equal to. And I can then go in here and write equals. Okay, and then I'm going to say hello. And I'm putting the hello in quotes, just like you would have in JavaScript, because it is a literal. I want to say the word hello. So I'm putting hello in quotes. And you know how in JavaScript you sometimes put in a space before the end of the quote so that you've got a space in between things? I'm doing the same thing here. I'm saying hello with a space after. Okay? And then I'm going to put in the ampersand to concatenate. And then I'm going to put in text name dot text.
Wait, the what sign?
The ampersand.
Okay, it'll always be the same for concatenate.
Just because they want to annoy programmers.
So wait, what's the ampersand?
That means the concatenate. The and sign. I'm concatenating. So I'm saying concatenate that with text name dot text. Okay? So that means whatever text you put into text name, it's going to concatenate it with. Okay? So now I've got the code. And now I come over here and see that green half diamond or the green arrow or the green something next to the word start.
Oh, that's awesome.
Click on that. And put in Susan or whatever name you want to put in. Click, and it says, hello, Susan.
I don't get that word.
You get a space, build errors.
Yeah, that's what I got. I got build errors.
Yeah, me too. I got build errors.
I didn't. Yep. Somebody's coming. What?
How did you get the space?
Hello, space, and then close the quotes. See it? I've got hello inside quotes, and I have a space after the O. Yeah.
I got the
my window.
That's what you did. What you call your text box. Go to the form.
Go to the text.
I have a window.
You
call that text. What do you call this guy?
Okay.
Just call this guy right here.
Yeah.
Text reading. You call it text reading. So you need to go back.
Yeah.
That one. XT, right? Whatever you called it. And then lowercase g?
Yeah.
See, text
screen
came up.
And now go back in.
And now it should be solid.
Did you really say 42? Do you think Ben can do this? Well, he doesn't know how to do that.
He doesn't know what that means.
If there's a way to do that, yeah. I'm not really sure how to do it.
Look, my window doesn't have a default icon. That's a Visual Basic thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had a question.
That's the default window icon that you just made.
Okay. So is everybody okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay. So now if I want to jazz this up a little bit, I can go and change the properties. So I go back to the design. Notice I have up here Form 1VB and Form 1VB Design. Design takes you to the form. So now I can click on, let's say I'm going to click on greeting. And I want to come down here and I'm going to do something to the font.
so I want to change the font. So I clicked on font, and notice I get those three little dots. And so I can click on those, and it comes up, and I can change the font. So I'm going to say I want a font of maybe 12, and I want it to be bold, okay? Or whatever you want it to be, and you can choose which font type you want. But I'm going to just change it to 12 and bold. Okay, so I change it to 12 and bold, and I click on OK. And now when I run it, I'm going to say John. And when I click, it is now saying hello, John, with a big font and bold. Okay? So I am now saying hello, John, with a big font and bold. So I think I want to make it red. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to change the font color on that. Again, I have to make sure that I've got greeting clicked on. And then I'm going to change the font color. So I'm going in and I'm customizing the form. Okay, so I'm customizing the color and I'm going to make it red. Okay, so now when I come in and I do this and run it, and I get click, hello, Anne, and it is red. So I can go in and I can change the properties of these boxes so that I now have hello, Anne, in big, bright red letters. Okay? Questions?
How did you change the actual color? Just let me choose different
font. There he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Questions. Okay. When I want to save this, I'm going to say File, Save All. Okay, and it's saving it for me. Now, if I go in and I take a look at what got saved, hello, what am I getting here? I don't want to do that. There. Okay, and I'm going to my drive that I put it on, and I called it first something or other, and it made a folder. I thought I put it on this one. I called it first 11-14, right?
Yeah, I called it first 11-14.
Maybe I saved it on my other disk. No, I don't see it there either.
Mine comes up as Windows Application 1.
Huh. I could have sworn I saved it here. Yeah, but that's because you called it Windows Application 1 and you didn't change it. Am I nuts here? Does anybody else see first 11? Yeah, I don't know where I put it. I thought I had put it on the D3 drive. It may be on the... I saved it on the T drive by mistake. I meant to save it on the G drive.
So there it is, first 11 to 14. And when I'm done here, I'm going to drag it over. Okay, so there it is. And notice what happens is it creates a folder that stores a bunch of information. It creates two names, one with an SLN and one with an SUO. And so it creates those. So again, what I need you to do is when you're sending me one, I need you to zip it up and send it to me. So you're going to take that folder and zip it up and send me the entire folder. Your choice. I want it zipped. Okay. Zip pretty much compresses. But if you've got something that lets you compress further, as long as I can unzip it. Okay. So, that's how that works. Now, I have over at my website a couple of programs right here in Visual Basic. And I put them out there zipped. And so you can unzip some of these and we can look at them. Okay, the one I think I'm going to do is... Yeah, which one is it? I can't remember whether it's first math or basic math, so wait just a minute. Okay, I'm going to say file, open project. Okay? I can close this one first. I can say close solution. And now I've closed up my solution. And then I can say file, open project. File, open project. And I'm going to go to my drive, and you are going to have to download first. Okay, I'm just checking right now to see which one I want you to download. First math or basic math, and I'm just checking. Okay, so the one I want you to open is basic math. I just did the wrong one. So download basic math and open it.
I'm having any issues.
So you're going to download basic math. It's under my examples. You're going to download basic math and unzip it. Okay, I've already got it unzipped, so I've got the copy of it, but you've got to download.
What do you mean by unzip it?
Huh?
What do you mean by unzip it?
The same as you unzip anything.
Extract all files.
Right click on it. And...
Oh, there you go.
Anyone else need any help finding basic math, or try to unzip it?
And that's what it is. But actually, save it first.
Why?
And then unzip it.
I like saving the reveal. I want to open it and bring it over.
Okay, now wait a minute. Where are you? Okay, let's back up.
Because I already downloaded
it. You downloaded it, okay. So now if you right click on it, you should be able to unzip it.
Put that
That is the zip
file. I don't know, am I working on it okay?
Yeah, I was giving me like a weird error on his thing.
Okay, oh no, you're inside Visual Basic Studio. I'm sorry. That's why. I couldn't see what you want. You want to go in here. Okay, into files and then extract files or unzip or whatever it is that comes up. Extract files, I think it comes up. So you want to save it, and then you want to extract the files.
Why don't I still get that option?
Sorry.
I still don't have that option.
I don't see it.
Actually, in this folder, here's got a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So if I get it unzipped, I have the SLN, okay? And the SLN is the thing that I can click on to execute it. Okay, so again, what you're going to do is you're going to come over here, File, Open Project. And you go to wherever you've stored the one you just unzipped. And you click on the folder, and it should say Basic Math. And you click on the folder, and it comes up with the SLN. And you click on the SLN, and it opens. And then you can click on the form to see it. But the SLN opens. Okay, in Visual Basic.
I kind of got nothing.
Okay. So in this one, you can see what I put up here. I put up two labels. I put up three text boxes. I put up five buttons. Okay? Now, if I put in some information here, and I put in, for example, 40... Sorry, gotta run it. Well, that would help. Okay. So I put in 44, and I put in 4. Okay? So when I add, it gives me 48. When I subtract, it gives me 40. When I multiply, it gives me 176. When I divide, it gives me 11. So I'm basically saying add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Okay? And when I click on close, it closes. Okay? So those are my buttons. So now I'm going to click on any one of the buttons, and it will then reveal the code. Okay. So here are my buttons. Now notice what I've got here is every button is executing its own subroutine or module. Every button is going to execute its own subroutine or module. So when I clicked on any one of the buttons, it created the button subtract click, and I wrote in there what I wanted to do in the subtract. Okay? So you can see I'm putting everything in text answer. So what is text answer? If I go back and look at the form, that is text answer. Okay, let me put up the names. That is text answer. Okay, because I wrote TXTANS over here. That's TXTANS. And notice again that those three letters at the beginning I do totally in lower case. Okay, it's not wrong if you don't. It just makes you look like you know what you're doing. Okay, if you put them in lower case. Okay, so now this one up here, I think I call text first, and I'm going to take that out. that I typed in at the wrong place. Whoops. Okay. So, this is called text first. And the other button is called text second. Okay. And the buttons, I call the first one button add. And I'm guessing I pretty much stuck with that. Button add, button subtract, button multiply, etc. So I look in this and I can see that when I click on button add, I've got three things that I wrote there. Okay? I have got text. I've got textanswer.text, and I've got three different things that I wrote there. Basically, three ways of doing it. The little single quote at the front of each one of the first two makes it a comment. So, if I want to see what would happen if I did it this way, I take that out and I put the comment down here. And now I can see what would happen if I did it the first way. So I basically did it three ways and commented two of them out. Now I've changed which one I'm commenting out. So I am putting that in. And I'm putting 44 and I'll put 11 this time. And I say add and look what I get. Where have you seen that happen before?
We are all the
JavaScript, okay?
You love JavaScript.
It's concatenating, okay? It's concatenating. So that is not the approach that I want to take. It is doing the same thing as it did in JavaScript.
So how did you move the comment without deleting it?
I just deleted the comment. I did. I deleted it. No, I just deleted the actual mark. So I put in the. I'm putting the mark in there, and I'm taking backspacing and taking it out there. Okay. So now I've got the bottom one, and if I do it now with the bottom one. I put in 44, and I put in 11, and I say add, and it gives me 55. So that one is working.
So those little marks there, are those comments?
Those are comments. Okay. The single quote is a comment.
So what's the point? Like, if you didn't put those there,
it would do all three. Yeah. If I didn't
put
those...
No, I'm saying if you didn't put those whole lines there, you just did the bottom one.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just trying to show you the different ways of doing it. Okay?
So the comments make it, like, just not...
Just not execute. If there's a comment on something, it just takes it as, this is a comment.
It's like a double backslash.
Basically from programmers to Java.
Yeah. Okay, so on this one now, on the second one, I put the word val there. Okay, now what does val remind you of? Parse float? It's the same thing. It's like parse float, parse integer, one of those. It is converting, and val converts to a number, or tries to make it into a number, yeah.
What if you take the all the commas out and try running it?
Then it will do the concatenate, then it will do the add twice, and you'll see the right answer, because it did the wrong answer first. You never will even see it so fast. It will go, you know, a nanosecond to do it, and you'll never even see it happen.
So if you write three different lines, two of them will be wrong, one of them will be right, and it'll know which one's right.
No, it will do the last one. Whatever the last one is, it's going to win.
Got it. So
because it goes in sequence. If the last one's wrong, that's wrong.
It'll still be assigned. Like, each one will still... They'll still be assigned to textanswer.text. So you're just doing it three times.
Remember, sequence means do this, do this, do this. And the last one is the one that hangs around. The other two are literally nanoseconds in getting done. And you're never going to see the answers. You'll never know. If you take out the comments on those three, you'll never know that it did three things. Because you're just going to see the last one. It's that fast.
Why would you do three things?
To show in class how they work. I get to do that. Okay?
So which one made the mechanic? The first one?
The first one. The second and the third are conversions. Now, Val is an older way of doing it. And it says convert anything. So Val will convert, tries to convert to a number, but it does it to a decimal just fine. C-I-N-T is a convert to integer. You know, like we have float integer. C-I-N-T is a convert to integer. C-D-E-C would convert to decimal. Okay?
Is one more effective than the other?
Val is the older way of doing it, so it's probably not considered as up to date as C-I-N-T is.
So would you be dating yourself by using Val?
Yeah. And I date myself all the time. Because if it's not broken, why am I fixing it again? And, you know, when I learned, it was Val. Actually, when I learned, God knows what it was. But anyway, at some point in my memory strain, it was Val. Okay? Basic goes back many, 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 many generations. Okay, so I can convert each one. And I do it the same way I did in JavaScript. Parenthesis around the field I want to convert, write how I want to convert it in the front. And it converts it to an integer. Then I have another subroutine that I do with a subtract, and I don't have to worry about subtract. And then I have another one with a multiply, another one with a divide, and I obviously clicked on the wrong thing. I clicked on text first, and it assumed that I wanted to change it, so it gave me that, and I usually make those extras go away. If you click some random spot, it creates something. And then I've got button close, which is written as me.close with two parentheses. It's doing the close function. Okay? Pardon me? How come in JavaScript you don't have to use pass float? The plus sign is the one that is complicated. Okay? So that's why. Yeah.
Now, could you do the plus plus?
I can. No, I don't think you can. I'm 99% sure you can't, but I have to admit I've never tried it. Okay. So, where are we? We've got about 15 or 20 minutes. I'm going to close this. And again, if I wanted to save any changes, I click Save All on my way out. Otherwise, I just can say Close Solution, and it goes away. Okay? And then if I want to open something, I can go back in and open something. Okay, what I want you to do, and I guess I don't know quite why I closed this, but that's all right. So if I open Project, and I'm going to go back, actually, to the root. And here's the first, and open the SLN. And so this is the first one that I did. Okay, and then I'll open the other one if you want. But this one you don't have. Okay, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to write a little program. You decide what you want to have. You know, you can do something similar to Hello. You can have them write in what course they're taking and say, you are taking this. you can have buttons, but just play around with these things we've learned, which are text boxes, names, and buttons. And just play around with them. Start from scratch and do something. And I don't care what you do. Okay?
So we can add together two words.
Just, yeah. Okay, so I want you to have a textbook box. For example, you could have a text box that took in a first name and a text box that took in a last name. And then say hello and put the whole name together. You can have a text box that takes in the course number. And then you could say you are taking... no, that would involve an F. Forget that. we haven't got the F yet. So just, I want you to experiment. If you start from scratch and do pretty much exactly what I did, that's fine. I just want you to do one. That's my goal here, is for you to create a visual basic and get it running. Okay, so use a text box, use a label, use a form, and just do something. And I meant to do this before I went back. The reason I took this up, instead of using the and sign there, you can use a plus sign on that first one that I did. So instead of the ampersand, you can have the plus sign, which is why, just a second, I'll keep coming. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So notice I changed the ampersand there to a plus sign. Is anybody listening? An ampersand to a plus sign, and it works just fine. And that's why you have the problem with vision.
That's what I was saying.
Well, you want to have
yeah.
it.
And I just, that's I meant to go back and change that, and I forgot to. And show you that it can use either one. And I forgot to, so now I did. That gets 40 for you.
Alpha above me. Turn under the bus.
So isn't this easy?
Yes. Is that in JavaScript?
We'll see. That's it. All hard.
Too early.
The nice thing about this is if you do something wrong, you get squiggly lines under it and it yells at you, and you can go back and see what you did wrong because you see the squiggly lines and everything.
Doing that right now.
So that is the part that makes it nicer to work with.
Yeah.
better actually if you can take it too. It actually helps out so you can see it. So see the G? Capitalize the G. So like it's like that's a text box. That's called three. Get it?
So now I'm being programmed with a bunch of
okay, actually you should be putting the fun. So get rid of those guys. This is text change. See this in button click.
And play around with color and font size with the rest of your time.
Yeah. See, it handles the button click if you want to read it for fun. This is, they named it button click. It's handling the button one click because the name of the thing is called button one. These ones here, text change, they're nothing. So if you want, you can actually click from here to there. From here. All the way to the private. Yeah.
Yeah, any subroutines that you're not using, delete.
And you can actually just hit view code and you go right into it instead of like double clicking on some randomness. So
and then like right here is where what's gonna happen.
No, right here in between.
You did it? Who said I did it? You did?
Name.
You have any color?
That's the property. Exactly the text box. It's what get this. So go back to here. And click on that right there. And nope. You don't click. So watch this. Go down here. See this text right here? That dot text means you're filling that in. See these are all properties.
Yeah.
You don't want to double click this. You want to get rid of those.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's what you want. Buttons, what you want you to click. So, and then you can assign it. And if you need help, I mean, you can look at the other one that you had. And just look, or you can look right there. She's got it right up there. Anyone need any help?
Yeah, probably. I already can't figure out where the hell I look first.
What do you mean?
Actually, do you want to open so you can kind of go through your
report? Sure, yeah, sure.
Just hit the little minimal button. Go to start button and go to there and just click on it. Actually, go right there. There you go. Yeah, I know. It does that. Visual Studio, like, it's like the
one thing. They decided.
And you want to name your stuff. Like, so if you go to that text right here, text name, go down here, click your thing. And so this is called Windows Application 1. You can save it later or something else. Alright, now if you go, so see this right here, this text, that's a property. So when you say like text reading,
the function
text,
close,
you're filling that in.
Pardon me?
The function like the button you use to close it.
I wrote me.
So that means
close.
Like it's like saying like if you want to put hello world into like that text box.
I put in a button and inside
so
the
like
button.
What happened is here it's this dot text greeting, it's hello name. And that's the text inside
that's
there.
That's what it does.
So that's whatever you put in here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that one you should try it out. Give some good substantial names like this could be text first name or something or something like that.
So me
and text last one.
The real trick is remembering the commands.
If you want to go into this, so like right here, if you want to go into your code, you right click code and you go in. This one you don't want. This is saying eight time picker value. So it usually starts off like that. But if you click on the button, it then does button plus.
so it's handling that button click.
See if it works.
If you click on this guy here, it'll do text change, which you don't need. But I just want to kind of show you how that works. And you can just kind of now put the code in when you put that button right in there. Use that text.
What do you want to change the text in? Text name or text reading, whatever you call it.
Cool.
If you want to put in the space, you put in the space thing. And then you would write. No, okay. If you want a second name, you're going to say, like
so
you did in Java.
All right.
You're going to say plus, quote, plus the last name. So you're going to say the first name plus the space plus the last
name. The first name, last name?
So, if you had text first, dot text, concatenated with a space, concatenated with text last, dot text.
So that way you know that's the first name and you're good. And up here, you can see right here, that's the actual name.
Is that your
go
window?
Go down here if you want to change that
shape. It's
just going to be the first time around.
Just so you can see it. Otherwise,
what
like,
you're trying to do. All right. Your name.
This is a button. I'm going to call that TN left
click. How'd you do it?
Or whatever it said. And then right here, what is it? Talk to you later.
Total.
All right. It's going to be text. Total.
Wait, Matt, how
do
you
want to talk to you later?
You do that?
So, alright, so
that?
Say you wanted to go in
it's, here. It's, you pick the date. You're the chooser picks the date. This is kind of cool. I like this.
You can actually click on
this one. Better than Alice and John.
Yeah, this is
nice.
And just to really run this out.
I mean, I'm just glad I got the program.
And
out.
Just think you thought Alice was nice the first 5 or 10 minutes, right?
Yeah. I think this is a lot better because he yells at you.
This is the name of the button. Like, this is the name of the actual thing that you're doing. It's handling the clicking. So now, what you want to do here, you go to the first line, which are those guys right here. Alright, so in this one here, text reading is the name
so
of the actual thing we're
text
right
read dot
right?
Text equals
right
hello
and actually
in
here,
so I need either the plus or the ampersand.
If you put text in here, that's what's actually going to appear in there. So if you put like 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5,
program inside the text right here. Equals hello, and it concatenated with the text name dot text. That's the text in this. That help? So then you put it in here, and then it goes through.
Everybody
so
got
like,
something working?
Yeah. But like, you know, boss. And then you can be like, bam, follow us. You know what I mean? That's how
yeah.
it took this.
If I have a button, and I want to make the gray outline part
here.
Go away,
hello.
Say that again.
And then text
I make a button that has the right gray background.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
So now, you can go back and forth.
You have to get the background for that particular thing.
So you can go here,
background,
right here.
Click,
and
you've got to click on the button.
And
you're
going to have to double click on this guy.
Background,
that'll make the thing.
No, back color. Yes.
Oh. So that made the click on. Now you've got to make. What are you adding to? And this.
What do you mean by grayed out? That's the background color in that. Okay, but then you have to change the background color of the box.
Yeah. Well,
so here I'm
so now you get that text though.
And then pick the color you want it to be.
Yeah. And now what are you adding to
it? And I don't think you can use the other one.
That helps too.
I think it keeps that to indicate it's a
I think I should change the background color.
Yeah. Dot, and you're changing the text property. Equals. And then you want to add whatever it is. Or whatever you want. Quotation marks, do the strings.
Okay, I'm going to look at one more thing very quickly. And then we'll call it quits.
Text first.
instead of doing the text name, let's say I wanted to check and see if people put in a code of A into the text name, if they put an A in there. I can say, whoops, which is good. See that little diamond there? I can click on that, not diamond, rectangle, and that stops things. Huh? The square? Whatever. Okay. So I can say if text name dot text, and we'll say equals n, equals n. Okay. Then, and notice it nicely puts in the then for you. Previous versions I used to always mess up. They want the then there, and I'd always forget. And apparently a lot of people, huh?
Does it put in all the curly braces?
It doesn't use curly braces.
All right, I love
it. It uses an if and then an ending. Okay, so it's more like pseudocode, and then it uses an if and an ending. Okay? So, now I'm going to say text greeting dot text equals hello concatenated with text name dot text. Else, and notice, wait a minute, I'm typing in the else, and it will now position it for me because it knows it should be like that. So I'm going to type in text greeting dot text equals. Okay, what did I just do? Equals, there we go. Who are you? Okay, so only Anne is allowed to get hello to. So I said, if text name dot text equals Anne, then put up a greeting that says hello Anne. Else, put up a greeting that says who are you? Okay, so if I run this, and I type in Anne, and I click, it says, hello, Ann. If I type in John and click, it says, who are you? So this is the basic structure of an if statement, where I say, if, and then I compare the two things that I want to compare. And in this case, I wanted to compare more literal. And then I say then, and I tell it what to do if it is, else I tell it what to do if it's not. Okay? So I can put in the else. This is of the type of language that does not use curly braces. It uses an end if. And it assumes everything between the if and the else is what you want to do if it's true. And everything between the else and the end if is what you want to do if it's false. And if you don't have an else, then it assumes that everything is what you want to do if it's true, and you want to do nothing if it's false.
Then if you do something wrong, it gives you a bunch of lines, right?
Say that again?
If you do something wrong, it gives you a bunch of lines underneath it.
It could, yeah. So if I change this... If I change this and called it name Z, it immediately puts those curly lines underneath and tells me that I've got a problem there.
Second question. Can we do the portfolio visual basic?
You can certainly include a visual basic problem, but no, the web pages have to be developed in HTML. Yes, you can do web development in Visual Basic. It uses ASP, which is their version of, I guess their version of JavaScript more than anything else. No, you got to be kidding me. We're in week 10.
Oh, it's like a whole class.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. We covered it in several weeks. Okay, so that gave me an error. And if I now ignore the fact that they've told me that, and I try to run it, it says there are build errors. Would you like to run? And what I love is, would you like to continue and run the last successful build? In other words, would you like to ignore
what
I just messed up? And usually the answer is no, because I know that the last one worked. So usually the answer is no there. All righty, I am done. See you Thursday. We have a help session today at 2 in this room. So if anybody wants to come, Pat will be here from 2 to 3, and I can stay after 3.
On a research paper, we just want you to send you the Word document.
I really count what it is that you are